If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to our scripture reading for this morning. Scripture reading is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're reading verses 1 to 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 10. Hear now the word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. And for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And may God add to our understanding this portion from his holy word. Before we go any further, let me just say happy Mother's Day to all of you. You know, I don't think that there was ever a time when we thought saying happy Mother's Day to somebody would actually bring concern to other people. And yet we're finding out today that that's exactly what it is. You know, I was shocked the first time somebody said to me, you shouldn't say Merry Christmas, because that might be offensive to people that aren't Christians. And of course, I didn't listen to what they said. I continued to say Merry Christmas to people. But I never in my wildest imaginations thought that somebody would say, you shouldn't say Happy Mother's Day, because that's offensive. And yet, if you've been watching social media lately, if you've been following what's going on, you know that there are a number of individuals right now that are rising up saying that to say Happy Mother's Day or Happy Father's Day is a slight to individuals. A lot of it has to do with the gender issue, where they don't want to see mothers being singled out as having anything special or particular about them. Now, here's a shocking statistic. A recent survey says that one-third of Americans will not celebrate Mother's Day this year. Now, that just came out. It's on Yahoo, if you want to search me out here. But one-third of Americans will not celebrate. 29% said the reason they're not celebrating it is because it's not important. Others said it was offensive to those who support gender equality, that they shouldn't be called mothers, they should be called birthing parents. I can see it affects you the same way it affected me. What is it with this woke culture that wants to tear down all these things that have been so traditional for us? You know, in years past, mothers have been held up. They've been praised. You know, to me, it always amazes me when they'll interview these big football players, and these 350, 400-pound giants will come up, and they get on the microphone, and they say, "Hi, Mom." Or these Marines, you know, with Semper Fi tattoos on their arms, and on the other arm, they'll have a heart, and it'll say, "Mother." You know, some famous men were interviewed, and they were asked about their own mothers, and they said things like this, Abraham Lincoln was asked, and he said, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Abraham Lincoln. George Washington once said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother." The great inventor, Thomas Edison, attributed his success to the life of his mother. He said, "I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all of my life." Mark Twain, observation of his mother, he said, "My mother had a slender, small body, but a large heart, a heart so large that everybody's joy found welcome in it and hospitable accommodation." Winston Churchill said this. It's widely reported that on one occasion, a London editor submitted to Winston Churchill for his approval a list of all the teachers he had had in his life. And Churchill looked at the list, handed it back to the reporter, and said, "You've omitted to mention the greatest of my teachers, my mother." You know, there's no doubt about it that so many over the years have attributed not only their success, but their joy in life to their mothers. Mothers are very important. I know there are some that wonder, well, why should we be talking about Mother's Day in church? Because Mother's Day is a very important time for us to honor those individuals that God has commanded us to honor. Some high school students were asked, "What did your mother teach you? What one thing do you remember the most about what your mother taught you?" And these are some of the responses that were given. One young man said, "She taught me logic. If everyone else jumped off a cliff, would you do it too?" Another one said, "She taught me medicine. She said, if you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way." And she taught me about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. She taught me about the circle of life. She said, "I brought you into this world and I can take you out of it." She taught me about my farming roots. What were you, born in a barn? She taught me about anticipation. Just wait until your father gets home. She taught me about payback. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they're just like you. And she taught me about the importance of prayer. You'd better pray that that stain comes out of the carpet. Now, these were real responses from high school seniors concerning their mothers, you know. But so much has changed. Our culture has changed. You know, we say it's changing. Yeah, it is. It's always been changing. But it has changed so drastically, especially in the last few years. Until now, it's hard to fathom that somebody would be upset when you say Happy Mother's Day. It's a trend right now. It's a current trend to try to redefine the family, the relationships within the family. I spoke last week about the fact that the two institutions that are under great attack is the home and church. And this is another example of how the home is coming under attack. When people don't want to even say, "These are my parents." No, this is my birthing person and this is my other person. How ridiculous. How strange. How unusual. Nothing like this has ever happened before. You know, there are issues that we're facing right now, even here in North Carolina, that are defining this. Most of you know that there's a great issue right now with abortion. And there are young women, those who are standing up for abortion, saying, "You have no right over my body. And if we don't have a right over your body, what about the body of the unborn?" The transgender controversy. Think back. What's the issue here? Well, I don't know whether you're a boy or a girl. We won't even know until you get older and you can make a decision for yourself as far as what you want to be. How does that impact the family? How does that impact traditional roles like mother and father? These are very real issues. Now, there are some people that say, now look, you're getting off into politics here. This has nothing to do with politics. This has to do with morality. The church has to speak to morality and moral issues. And when somebody tells me you can't say Happy Mother's Day, to me, that's a moral issue at its heart. What does the Bible have to say about motherhood? You know, our view of our mother and father basically comes out of our covenant with God. We talked about this in our class this morning, but the covenant basically has two different aspects. It has a vertical aspect and has a horizontal aspect. Our vertical aspect has to do with our relationship to God, and it's the first four commandments in the Ten Commandments. They all deal with our relationship to God. You should have no other gods before me. Don't make any graven images. The first four have to do with our relationship to God. The second six of the Ten Commandments all have to do with what's called the horizontal relationship. That's how we live our lives with one another. And if you think about it, the vertical and the horizontal, when you put them together, form the cross. And that's why Jesus quoted that when he said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And then he said, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two tables of the Ten Commandments right there. And he told us how we are to love one another. And in that, in the fifth commandment, he said, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord our God has given you. They were commanded. It wasn't a suggestion to them. It wasn't up for debate. Honor your father. Honor your mother. Why? Because this is the basis of the family unit. And when you take that away, there's nothing to turn back to. We're just free-floating out there, everybody with their own opinion. Honor your father and your mother. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, later on in the law that was given, it says this, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. I am the Lord your God. And whenever we see that in Scripture, I am the Lord your God, it's saying, you'd better listen and pay attention to this. And that's what the Israelites were being told. Revere, honor your mother, honor your father. You know, because when we honor our parents, our mothers and fathers, basically we're honoring God. Somebody said you learn everything about God within the first 5 years in looking at your mother and father. Well, when we honor our parents, it shows that we are honoring God from the heart. Very important. See, God chose our parents. We didn't choose our parents. I know that there are people here today that said, listen, you have no idea what I went through when I was growing up. You don't know how terrible my father was, how careless my mother was. You don't know about who they really were. You know something? God knew it. And God's the one that gave you that mother, and he gave you that father. God is sovereign. He had a purpose in that. I don't even hope to tell you what that purpose was. But I believe that if you humble yourself before the Lord and ask him, he'll show you. He has a purpose in every single parent that he gives to us. Or God chose our parents to groom us, to train us into the people that we are. Some did a great job, some didn't. But God used our parents to bring us along to that point where we could begin to make decisions on our own and call upon the Lord on our own. You know, Paul talks about this in this passage that we read this morning, and this he's speaking here to Timothy. And in verse 5 of the text that we read, this is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says this, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. And what Paul was doing was going back in generations, and he was saying, you have been greatly blessed. You had a grandmother that had faith in me, that trusted in me, and she passed that on to her daughter, and her daughter grew in faith and grew in love for me, and she took that and passed it on to you, and now you have that same love and that same faith in me. And you can see the way that flows through the family and how important it is as we honor our parents that we receive from them blessings from God. That may not even be their intention, but it's God's intention. That's what he wants in all of this. I'm sure some of us can think back to lessons that we learned, not just from our parents, but even from our grandparents. Majority of us here today are grandparents. Some are even great grandparents. Annie and I have two great grandchildren. And what responsibility do we have to continue that line, to continue affecting those who have come after us as parents, as grandparents, as great-grandparents? How important it is. Back years ago, when I first came to the Lord in a church in Coral Gables, Florida, a wonderful church, and I had a great pastor there. His name was Bob Ostenson, and Bob's wife Peggy was a model. She loved the Lord with all her heart. Their children grew up serving the Lord, and she was in her late 90s, and about a year ago she passed away. And I got an email, and it said that Peggy, when she was in her 90s, she was in a nursing home, and she spent her time writing letters to her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren, talking to them about the Lord, sharing experiences in her own life of how Jesus had helped her and strengthened her even through the great difficulties that she went through. She was in her 90s, and she was sharing this, and she did so until the day she died. What an example for us, for all of us. You know, sometimes we reach a point in our lives where we feel like, well, there's nothing left for me to do. It's all over with. No, it's not. No, it's not. God calls us to serve him until he calls us home. We don't retire from God's service. So, you know, it always begs the question when people say, well, Happy Mother's Day. And we say, well, who is our mother? I mean, let's boil it down. Today, the Surgeon General was asked, what is a woman? And they couldn't give an answer. How in the world can they give an answer when somebody says, what is a mother? Who is a mother? You know, Jesus was asked this question one time. This is found in Matthew chapter 12, verses 47 to 50. And it says this, but he replied to the man who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Now, basically, Jesus was expanding the understanding of what it meant to be a mother. We're going to cover this, too, with fathers. Same issues are at stake here. Jesus was asked the question, who is my mother? And what he did was he pointed to the covenant relationships, the relationships that we have within the body of Christ. And he was saying, these people that have a heort for God, that love the Lord, that are doing their best to strengthen the body, these are my brothers, these are my sisters, these are my mothers. Those individuals that God was using to grow up believers. And I'm sure you can think back in your own life to people that God put in your life to help you, to strengthen you. When your mother wasn't there, there was somebody else that would help you and relate to you. I remember in the first church that I pastored, it was in Crystal Springs, Mississippi. And right down the road, there was a widow that lived about five doors away. And she had a real love for children. And so she would open up her home, and after school, children would go there, and she would usually have a little treat for them to eat. And they would sit around, and she would talk to them about Jesus. You see, she was being a mother to them. And it was a great joy for her. You know, other cultures use this all the time. In fact, if you look at other cultures, when you talk about a mother, they don't always talk about their birth mother. Now, their birth mother is in a totally different category. You know, when a mother gives birth to her child, there's a relationship there that is unique. But there are others who are used in a very significant way in an individual's life, and sometimes do the function of a mother, even though they're not the birth mother. And in the Spanish culture, the Italian culture, the American Indian culture, when you ask somebody, who is your mother? They may say, this person over here. And then as you search it down, you find out, well, that wasn't your birth mother. No, that's not my birth mother, but that's my mother. We see that happen all the time. They refer to other people as mother, sometimes even as mom, because it shows a very tender relationship that they have there. The birth mother is in a totally different category. There's a link there that can't be duplicated by anyone else. There should be a tenderness there. There should be a concern there for the welfare of that child that no one else on earth can share. It's one of the reasons why I believe that mothers should be lifted up. Birth mothers should be lifted up. But I think the others that are giving of themselves to try to help and to train, our teachers, our nurses, our Sunday school teachers, all these different individuals that are used by God to strengthen our children, to strengthen the body of Christ. They need to be blessed. It's one of the reasons why it's so important for mothers to be believers, so that they can share what God has told them, what God has helped them with. They can pass it on and lift up and build up the body of Christ. So how then, on this day, when we talk about Mother's Day, how should we honor our mothers? Well, I think that there are several things that we can do. First of all, in looking back, I think that we need to minimize their faults. You know, the truth is, there's not one person here that had a perfect mother. We love them with all our heart. We love them. But as we grow older, we can see that they weren't perfect. They made mistakes. When we were growing up, they made mistakes. And we need to be able to minimize that because of what they've done. You know, it's most men can't have the same feelings about children as a mother does because of what the mother goes through to give birth to that child. You know, I've said before, and that is that if God had men to have babies, humanity would have died out within the second generation. It would not continue. And that's why we need to have a special affection for our mothers. They weren't perfect, but which one of us was? We weren't perfect either. And then I think we need to maximize their strong points. And again, this is looking back. We need to maximize the gifts, their talents, their abilities. We need to look at those things. You know, we become so blinded to these things. We take them for granted about just how special our moms were, how special they were. And in some cases, for our younger people, how special they are. We need to consider the great things that they've been able to do in their lives, the personal sacrifice that they went through, the unconditional love that they were able to show in times of need or times of grief. You know, if your mom is still alive, count yourself as very, very fortunate. And I'm sure there's not one person here that has seen their mom go on to glory that doesn't wish with all their heart they could spend today with them. Tell them how much they mean to them. So often, unfortunately, it's after the fact, after they've gone on, that we look back and we think, if I could just have you here for a minute, just to tell you how much I love you and how special you are to me. If your mom's still alive, take the opportunity now to tell her how special she is and how much you love her. I think for husband, for men, I think it's important to treat the mother of your children as something very special. Take her out. Maybe buy her some flowers. Do something special to let her know that you appreciate all that she's gone through to raise those children. What she's having to endure day by day by day. And if you want to talk to somebody that can give you a good understanding of that, just talk to Ben and Diana back here. 4 children. Yeah, they go through an awful lot. We need to be able to say thank you. We need to be able to say thank you. You know, back some years ago, James Taylor wrote a song, and the song was, "Shower the people you love with love." And this is how it went. Just shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are going to be much better if you only will. And I think that's what we should think about today. Today is Mother's Day. And I think that we should shower those people, whether they're already gone on and we remember them, we thank the Lord for them, we praise God for the fact, no, they weren't perfect, but they gave me so much in the short time I had them. You know, there are many of our traditional beliefs today that are being challenged. Holidays like Thanksgiving, Christmas, they're being attacked by a minority that wants to try to control the majority. They want to come back and review all these things, all of the heroes of the past. They want to challenge it all and try to wipe it away and make it as if it's nothing. At some point, we have to stand up. At some point, we have to say, no, I will not accept this. No more. That's when we have to turn to the truth of God's word. And we have to let the Lord help us redefine what it is that we hold to. He's commanded us to honor our mothers, to honor our fathers. And with all that said, I want to once again say, Happy Mother's Day. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, again, we are so grateful and thankful that you have given us mothers. Lord, we can't say enough in gratitude to you. And it's with our heart that we want to honor our mothers on this day. Of all the days, Lord, 365 days a year, we can appreciate them and love them. But in particular, on this day, we honor them specially, in a special way. And Lord, I pray for each mother that's here. I pray that you would give them the joy of knowing that they have done something that will last forever, that you would bless them in every way. And we thank you again and praise you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
And now, if you would please stand and turn to number 80, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. We'll sing the first two verses, then the third one after the benediction. Number 80.
Please bow for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.